All right. Let me slide this back, because if I don't, I'm going to kick it and knock it off. So we'll put it over here. There was a particular timber mill that where theft had become a real problem, just petty theft, but theft nonetheless. So the owner decided to put a guard at the gate. Well, the first day the guard was in place, there was a guy by the name of Peters came up to the gate. He had a wheelbarrow, and he rolled the wheelbarrow up to the gate, and in the wheelbarrow was this bag that was big and bulky and looked very suspicious. So the guard says, "Hold on, wait a minute. What do you got there?" Peter goes, "Oh, it's nothing but sawdust and shavings." And the guy goes, "I wasn't born yesterday. Pour it out. Let's see what you got." So he picks it up and starts pouring it out. Sure enough, all that came out was sawdust and shavings. So he allowed him to put it all back in the bag and take the wheelbarrow and go on home. Well, every day the next week, what would Peters do? He had a wheelbarrow and he came to the gate full of a bag of sawdust and shavings. Every single day, as the week went on, the guard's suspicions began to rise, as did his frustration. He could not figure out what Peters was taking out of the factory. He knew he was taking something, but he couldn't figure out what. But finally, curiosity overrode his frustration. So the next night he stopped him and said, "Okay, here he comes, you know, once again, he's got the wheelbarrow and the bag of the sawdust and shavings." He goes, "Okay, I know for a fact that you are stealing and smuggling something out of this factory, but I can't figure out smuggling wheelbarrows, Reverend, wheelbarrows." See, the guard was focusing on the wrong thing, and he missed what was important. He was so distracted by the sawdust and shavings, he didn't even give the wheelbarrows another look. He missed them entirely. We're going to see today that we can do the same thing. We can miss the important stuff. We can become so distracted, so focused on other things that we miss Jesus entirely. So as you can see, our message today is entitled Distracted. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41. A very familiar passage to many of us, but let's read it and see what the Lord has for us today. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken away from her." First thing that we have in our passage today is Martha's invitation. See, Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem. He was making his last trip there. He would die on the cross just a few days later. And they come to this village, the village of Bethany. We know that to be the fact because that's where Mary and Martha, the two women in our story, lived. Now, you might be a little more familiar with their brother. Their brother was Lazarus, the one who Jesus raised from the dead. So you may be more familiar with him. So this is the home that they're in. But Martha decides that she would like to extend an invitation of hospitality to Jesus and his disciples. So she invites them over for at least a meal and more than likely to stay the night as well, to offer them lodging. So once Mary receives the word that her invitation has been accepted, she goes into overdrive. Thus begins the preparation. After all, people are coming to her house. She's got to make sure everything's in order. She's got to make sure the floor is swept, that the dishes are clean, that new sheets are on the bed, and the good towels are out. She's got to make sure of all that, make sure everything is good. Not only that, but she's got to plan a menu. Then she's got to go to the store. She's got to get everything that it will take to cook the meal. Martha knows what it takes to be a good hostess. So she goes about her task, and she checks off the list one at a time as she finishes each task. Now, when Jesus arrives and knocks on the door, Martha is more than likely in the kitchen making dinner preparations. And if she was, she'd have to, you know, put down the cup of towel, take off her apron, dust her hands off before she goes and opens the door and greets her guests. She welcomes them with a customary kiss. She offers to have their feet washed. And then after all the pleasantries, she leads them into the den, says, "Sit down and relax." And she takes the drink orders, and Mary brings in the appetizers. And it's only after she gets satisfied that they're all comfortable and Ray that she disappears back into the kitchen to finish getting dinner ready. Going from one task to the other, not really taking a breath in between. And we get the idea that this is not unusual for Martha. You know, she is a go-getter. As they say, she had one speed, and that was wide open. She was always going, always in the middle of something. Her schedule was always full. She was always the first to volunteer, the first to get involved. She was never still. I see some of you pointing and laughing at other people. You know some people like this. But this is Martha. But Mary, her sister, is a little bit different. When Mary enters our story, what do we find her doing? Sitting at Jesus' feet. She's not helping in the kitchen. She's not serving. She's not setting the table. She's just sitting with Jesus. Now, probably Mary didn't start off and immediately sit on the floor there by Jesus. As the guests arrived, before they arrived, she was probably cleaning and cooking right alongside Mary. When they did come in to the house, she helped with their cloaks. She helped facilitate the washing of the feet. She helped usher them into the den. And even after they were all settled in, Mary probably continues to help Martha with all the things that were necessary to take care of their guests. I can kind of picture the scene in this way. Martha and Mary are in the kitchen. They're working away. And then Martha looks at Mary and says, "Hey, go check on everybody. See if they need a refill on any of their drinks." So she picks up the pitcher. She goes back into the den. And as she makes herself around the room, just filling a glass here and a glass there, she's also listening to what Jesus has to say. She begins to take her time. She slows down her pace, and she lingers a little longer than maybe she needs to, just so she can hear Jesus finish his thought. Then she remembers her duties as a hostess, and so she hurriedly turns and goes back into the kitchen. A few minutes later, Martha sends her out again, maybe this time with a tray of food. But she's not so interested in really serving the food. She wants to hear what Jesus has to say, and she's more interested in listening to him. And so this time she moves even more slowly, from person to person, never taking her eyes off the Lord. And once everyone has been served, she puts the tray down, but this time she didn't go back in the kitchen. She just stands there. And then she hears this, "Mary! Mary! Mary!" And Martha, trying to get her attention, "Mary, what are you standing there for? Come on back in here and help me." So Mary turns around and goes back in the kitchen. The next time, I picture her taking plates and napkins. She takes them, she puts them on the table, and they never get into the place where they're supposed to be because she is totally captivated by what Jesus is saying. And practically without even realizing it, she finds herself seated in front of it. See, the busyness of it all the duties of being a hostess, all the activities, they just fade away. And she decides to spend time with Jesus, listening and learning. This was Mary. Now, we have two people doing two different things. Martha is busy in the kitchen. Mary is sitting with Jesus. And at first, Mary thought it might have been interesting, maybe even cute, that Martha was so intrigued with Jesus, you know. But when she had to call her name, it was less cute. And now that she sees her just sitting there with Jesus, well, let's just put it this way, she's less than happy. That's a good way of putting it. But she just couldn't abide the thought that she was doing all this work. She was trying to take care of all the guests. And what is Mary doing? Nothing. Nothing. So here we see the frustration of Martha. The frustration that was getting under her skin. Now I imagine that Martha probably didn't respond immediately. I mean, I think she probably gave Mary a little bit of time to try to realize she was needed elsewhere. But that she gave her time to try to figure out, okay, I need to get back in the kitchen. I've spent enough time here. But a minute turned into five, and 5 minutes turned into 10. And with each tick of the clock, Martha's frustration grew. A little delay here, a little delay there. That's one thing. But for Mary just to abandon her altogether, that was something different entirely. And so she decides she's going to put a stop to it. But instead of going to Mary and scolding her, what does she do? She goes to Jesus, doesn't she? Look in verse 40. In verse 40, she goes to Jesus, and she says this. She says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So all this frustration is built up, and now there's the confrontation. The confrontation. Do you hear the condescending tone in her voice here in this passage? Don't you care? Don't you care that my sister, my little sister, is just sitting there? Won't you do something about it? I know none of you have ever talked to anybody that way or had anybody talk to you, so I know this is a stretch for your imagination. But we all know exactly where Martha is because we've all been there at one time or another. But she was frustrated. She was maybe even a little bit angry. Jesus, don't you care that I'm working over here? Have you noticed I'm doing my best to take care of the dinner and take care of all your needs at the same time? Mary's supposed to be helping me, and all she's doing is sitting there. There's still too much to be done for her to sit there. I can't believe you're letting her do that. Tell her to get up, set her straight, tell her to help me. Tell her to get busy. And I do find it interesting, Martha goes to Jesus. Maybe this was a pattern with Mary. Maybe she would rather give herself to conversation than the work at hand. Maybe she had talked to Mary about this many times, and yet it just went in one ear and out the other. It still continued the same pattern. So maybe she thought, well, if I talk to Jesus, Jesus talks to her, tells her not to get so distracted, maybe it will sink in this time. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was just the fact that she was so angry, she wanted to embarrass Mary in front of all the guests. Or maybe it was the fact that she saw an opportunity to show Jesus what she was doing and bring that to his attention so that she could get a pat on the back or well done. We're really not sure exactly why she went to Jesus, but when she does, she approaches him in a not so civil manner, in a not so civil way. And she demands help from Mary. But with these words, she does more than just demand that he tell Mary to come into the kitchen. This is what else she says. She says, I have too much to do to spend time with you right now. And Mary has too much to do to be sitting with you right now. Now here is Jesus, okay? In Martha's living room, the man where people from all over the country and even outside the country were coming to hear and to see. They were traveling miles to be with him. The teacher, the rabbi, the healer, he is right there, and she's too distracted to spend 5 minutes with him. Perhaps she thought, well, I can do it later. How many have ever had that thought? You need to say, well, I'll do that later. Later comes, what happens? The list is longer than it was before. And there's always something there that is going to eat up our time, something else to distract us from what's important. In my first church, I had a retired Marine colonel. Good guy, but boy, that dude knew how to work. He'd work you under a table. And he got up every morning at 4 or 5 and ran 5 miles every day. And boy, he was tough. Good guy, great heart. And this is what he used to say. He used to say, if the devil can't make you sin, he's going to make you busy. If he can't make you sin, he's going to make you busy. Meaning, he's going to distract you with activities. He'll keep you so busy, even with good things, that you don't have time for Jesus. Making sure you're so busy that you can't bring yourself to spend even one moment with the Savior. And this is the distraction that we see here. This is what's taking place in Mary's life. The distraction is busyness. Busyness. But Martha doesn't see herself as distracted, does she? She sees Mary as the one who's being distracted and the one that's neglecting what's important. So she confronts her and Jesus at the same time. She barges in that room in a huff, interrupts the conversation, and says, Jesus, it isn't fair that I do all this work. Make Mary help me. We don't have time to visit right now. Now, do you find it interesting, once she says that, that Jesus doesn't get mad? How many of you, if somebody burst in, interrupted the conversation, and demanded that you do something, would be calm and cool and collected and not get angry and snap back? You know what I would have done? I would have been tempted to go, what are you doing coming in here interrupting me and demanding me to do something? Is that not what you would have done? Probably so. Jesus doesn't do that. He had a right to do that, but he doesn't do that because he knows what's going on. He knows that she is distracted. So he doesn't respond in kind. And I imagine he's looking at her and he smiles. How many times have you been frustrated and angry and upset, and then somebody smiles at you? What does that do to you? It adds to your frustration, does it not? I can imagine Jesus still doing that, just smiling at her because he just loved her. He wasn't making fun of her. He wasn't making light of it, but he smiled at her and he answered her, but not in the way she anticipated. She really thought that he would say, "Martha, you're absolutely right. What you're doing is the priority. Mary, you should be more like your sister. You can't sit here and shirk your responsibilities. Get back in there, give her some help, and don't let it happen again." And maybe she thought then he would turn to her and say, "Martha, I'm sorry this happened. Will you please forgive me?" But this is not what he says. Look in verse 41 at what he says. He says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, here we have Jesus' invitation. Martha had given Jesus an invitation earlier into her home, but now Jesus invites Martha to do something. He says to her, "Martha, you're concerned about all of this stuff. All of these things, the meal, making sure we're comfortable, make sure we have plenty to drink, and here you are frustrated and anxious about it all. You're so distracted. It's distracting you from me. I know you want to be a good hostess, and that's a good thing, but it's distracting you, and I appreciate what you're doing, but here I am under your roof. I've barely seen you since I came in. Do you think the reason I came here was to eat with you? That's not the reason I came. I didn't come just for the meal. I came to spend time with you." Mary understands this. Yes, she's sitting here at my feet. She seems to be doing nothing. She's not running around the kitchen from one task to another. But I won't take what she's doing away from her. I'm not going to get her to get up and get busy, because what she's doing is important. It's more important than what you're doing. Now, I know that probably hit Martha in a very bad way. But he says, in fact, it's the most important. She's spending time with me. She's learning from me and about me. You can learn from your sister not to allow the busyness to keep you distracted, to keep you from experiencing the most important thing, to keep you from experiencing me. Now, at this point, that's the end of the story in our scriptures. But at this point, I cannot see Jesus saying, "Okay, Martha, now you go back in the kitchen and finish up all the activities, and you finish up dinner all on your own. You go on back over there and do that." I don't think he did that. I think what he's doing is giving her an invitation. He's giving her an invitation to come to him. After he says the priority is to spend time with me, I think he says, "Now come and spend time with me." See, Jesus' invitation was spend time with me. She invites her to stop her activity, at least for a while, and join her sister. It's interesting to note that what Mary was doing, why she was so busy. She was busy doing what? Serving Jesus. And I think we'd all agree that serving Jesus is a good thing, right? Do we all agree with that? Yeah, serving Jesus is a good thing. Everything she was doing for Jesus. But she was so focused on serving, so busy doing for Jesus, that she didn't have time to spend with Jesus. What she's doing is a good thing. They weren't bad. Jesus doesn't scold her for trying to take care of her and doing these things. But good things keeping her from doing the most important thing. They were keeping her from him. See, Satan knows how prone we are to over-scheduling. Have any of you have that problem? That you're just so busy? Everything going on? And we have the idea that we think if we're not busy all the time, we're wasting time. Or if we're not serving the Lord full tilt all the time, that we're letting him down in some way. So Satan places in front of us all these opportunities, these really good opportunities, one after another, very good things, and he encourages us to take each one of them on, knowing this to be true, that if we are busy enough, our busyness will push Jesus right out of our life. puts Jesus right out of our lives. But maybe that's a Martha thing. Or maybe that's a pastor thing. As a pastor, there's always one more thing that I can be doing. One more sermon to get ready. One more book to read. One more study to do. You know, there's one more phone call to make. One more visit to make. One more meeting to go to. And then you put that on top of all the other things that I'm expected to do as a husband and as a father and as a brother and as a friend. I got a lot of demands on my time, and I know that you do too. And I have all those demands. And because of that, it's easy for me to fill my schedule with all those good things, all those wonderful things, and I never find time for Jesus. Now, granted, when I study for a sermon or I'm studying for a Sunday school lesson or something, I'm spending time with Jesus. When I'm praying for the church or praying for the church members, I'm spending time with Jesus. But that focus is on sharing something. That focus is on leading a Sunday school class or leading in the preaching or leading in some other way or praying for other people. I can get so busy doing that that I forget to get one-on-one with Jesus and talk to him about my life and about my walk. So often preachers will sit and they will get so wrapped up in praying for others and dealing with others and trying to help others grow in the Lord that we forget to do it ourselves. We get so busy doing good things that we miss out. So I have to guard against getting so busy with the Lord's work that I don't have time for him. But I suspect this isn't just a Martha problem or a preacher problem or my problem. I suspect we all kind of deal with that as well. We're so programmed to be like the Energizer Bunny. You know who I started to get a big drum, and you know, come in here. But what does the Energizer Bunny do? He's going and going and going and going nonstop. The idea is just keep going and going and going and going and going and never stop. We do that. We get to going and we get to going and moving and moving and moving from one activity to another. We burn candles at both ends and the world does what? They applaud. Yeah, this guy's busy. This guy's a go-getter. This lady really has it together. And yet, Jesus says, stop. He says, it's of the utmost importance that you stop. Stop going. Stop doing. In fact, it's imperative that you do. See, Mary has things backwards here. She put service before spending time with Jesus. And it says she was worried, she was upset, she was frustrated, she was anxious. There was very little joy, if any, in her service. See, time with Jesus has to be before service. For only as we spend time with him and allow the Spirit to fill us, that service becomes a joy. That the anxiety and frustration disappears, he empowers us, and he gives us wisdom to deal with life. Jesus invites us to come and sit at his feet, and he makes that invitation to us every day, and sometimes multiple times a day. And he says, stop doing. Step away from the chaos. Step away from the noise. Stop the activity, and just sit with me. Let me speak to your heart. Let me calm your soul. Let me share with you my wisdom and give you my guidance. Come away with me. Let me encourage you. Let me give you peace and reassurance that you're not in this alone, that I am here. So he invites us to stop and step away and let him care for us. Let him love us and prepare us for what the day holds. And as we spend time one-on-one with Jesus and we converse with him, talking with him, and then listening to him, sharing with him, allowing him to share with us as we read his word and sing his praises, voicing our love for him, and then hearing him voice his love for us, we receive peace and encouragement. We receive wisdom and guidance and power and reassurance and all those things. But not only do we do that, have you ever heard that you become like the people you hang around? So all of y'all are going to become like me. Aren't you glad? Oh, I don't want to see that. Alicia can't handle one of me. She certainly can't handle all of y'all. But we become like those we hang around, right? So if we spend time with Jesus, what do you think is going to happen? We're going to become like him, or more like him at least. But as we take a seat beside him, we've got to give him just more than our attention. We also have to give him our very selves. See, only as we give ourselves to Jesus can he give himself to us, because we're open to receiving. And the only way we can do that is we make time for him and spend time with him. So here's my question. When was the last time you left behind the distractions of the day? You turned off the television, the cell phone. You put down your book and picked up his. You walked out of the family room and you found a chair either in the bedroom or on the patio, and you just sat with Jesus. See, Jesus makes time for us every single day. But do we make time for Jesus every day? We should. We should make time. We should escape the schedule and take time to sit with Jesus. And you can meet him in the morning. You can meet him in the afternoon. You know, how's the song go? I forget now. I started to say it, now I just went blank. But you can meet him in the morning. You meet him on your lunch hour. Meet him in the middle of the day. You can meet him when you're lying on your bed at night or when you wake up in the morning. You can meet him in the bedroom, on the couch, in the patio, in the office, or in your recliner. I read about a woman who had 6 children, all elementary school age. So those of you who have kids, you know the chaos that's happened. Guess where she met Jesus? On the front porch in her rocker with her apron pulled up over her head. That's where she met Jesus. But it doesn't matter where you spend time with him. It's just the fact that you spend time with him. How many of you find it easy to push the pause button? I didn't think so. It's not easy to push that pause button, to let that to-do list go. It's not easy to step away from that busy day or even take a break from serving the Lord. But if we're going to grow, if we're going to learn from him, and we're going to learn about him, if we're going to serve with joy, if we're going to avoid frustration and distraction, it's the one thing we must do. We must take time for Jesus, and we must spend time with Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we all know this. This is not new information for us. We all know that we need time alone with you. But Father, it is hard. We live in a society that never stops. I mean, things are happening all the time. There's always something on TV to watch. Our phones are always calling to us. Our schedules are full. There's always something to fix, a lawn to mow, people to see. I mean, all the things that are going on. Father, it's hard to carve out that time where we can just exhale and just sit with you and visit with you. And it's even harder after we find that time to calm our minds so that we're not somewhere else as we're trying to visit with you. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to be faithful, because you just want some time with us. You just want time to spend with us and to love us and to care for us. Father, you just want to develop that relationship with us. And that can't happen without spending time together. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to leave the distractions behind, to take a tip from Mary as opposed to Martha, and not get distracted by all the things that take up our time. Forgive us when we do. And then just tap us on the shoulder, remind us what's important, and then bring us back to where we need to be. Thank you, Father, because you want to spend time with us. You desire it, and you seek us out. And then you welcome us into your presence when we do. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.